out. So we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us move forth in our continuum. Take out your document. In volume 2. Amen. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions.
Scripture distinctions.
Actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. All right, now let's go into our section there where we've been dealing with relativism and scriptural ontology. Repeat after me, relativism and scriptural ontology. That is relating to God, that is through the scriptures, what actually that word ontology means, existence. So we get our comprehension by faith. By faith we understand. We'll be touching on that a little bit this morning from Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. But the essence of it is based upon the fact that we understand that all things come into existence through God's saying. God said it. That's why. That's the only reason and the only way it can exist is through God having said it. He decreed, and that's how it actually exists. What we see, what we observe, what we comprehend through our natural senses really are field of representations, basically exclaiming in physicality of physical format and sequenced in portions for God conveying it to us in the human physical state that we're in now. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Let's turn back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13. We're just going to touch on that a little, and I want to go back. There are some more nuggets I'd like to draw out of Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. This morning, as we go through and deal with relativism, that is, that word simply means to relate how things relate. And of course, here scripturally, amen, we understand that all things relate to the source from which all things come.
Amen.
From. And that would be God.
Yes, so
everything relates to God. And of course it's hard for us in human form and how we resonate with physicality. And somehow many times our focus is on ourselves rather than on God. But everything, amen, must relate to God. Elder, just read that 13th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, for those that are watching, listening through our webcast, on our website, there is this scripted title there, and if you will just click on it as an icon, and this entire document will come up. We're on page 10. Again, almost on the bottom of page 10 this morning, and we're in that sector that's dealing with relativism according to the scriptures. What things are according to the scriptures? Amen. What things are according to the scriptures? And of course, we are convinced through the Word of God that this is the way it is. And of course, for those that want to dwell and magnify physicality, of course, if that's where they are, then that's where they are. But we, amen, perceive and understand according to faith. By faith we understand. It is through the medium of God given imparted faith unto us that we perceive and understand things. All right, Elder, why don't you read that verse of Scripture?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the 13th verse.
Mm-hmm.
King James translation. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13.
And it's the Greek interlinear. Again, those that are watching, amen. If you do not have that document, just follow along in your translation. We go to this format simply because this document has the Greek scripting, and right under it, you have the English word, which ties his hand a little tighter as it relates to the translation. All right. Again, everyone got 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Amen. All right. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, 13th verse in the Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Which things also we speak.
What things are you talking about, Paul? We have been moving through this passage. The things that are around us, everything that happens, everything that we perceive as happening, which has already occurred in God's saying, and it's displayed in the matrix in a field of representations for testimony unto us. And some of them can frighten us. Some of them are very challenging and daunting to us, and amen, and causes the uneasiness that we feel as we travel through, transition through life. We're always, amen, moving in the realm of uncertainty if we go strictly by what we see and what we observe and what we physically, amen, resonate to. As we shall see this morning, amen, there's a record of those whose actions were the antigen, the opposite, the difference, or were different, I should say, from what their reaction actually would have called for in the situation. In other words, you react opposite of that which you see. All right, read.
Not in taught of human wisdom words,
mm-hmm.
but in words taught
mm-hmm.
of spirit.
Words taught, not of the taught human wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
What is taught, what is outlaid in processes, what is before us as they unfold, and what human wisdom construe such to be, but in taught of the Spirit. And here you have two genitives. You have taught of human wisdom, that is the teaching that belonged to human wisdom, and the teaching that belonged to the Spirit, which comes from Word of God. And the latter in the Spirit, finish that up.
Spirit, spiritual things comparing.
The spiritual, actually, that read, using the modern Greek pronunciation, from time to time we go back, amen, and convey to those that are following us, that here at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the modern Greek pronunciation in lieu of Erasmus. With that said, pneumatos, that is, of the Spirit, pneumatikis, pneumatika, that is comparing spiritual with spiritual. Here we have the Greek word synkrisundes, which basically could be evaluating. So all of our evaluation comes, follow me closely this morning, everybody, comes out of spirituality.
Amen.
Rather than physicality. It comes from the spiritual realm of the total world of God according to his saying. That's what spirituality is.
Yes. Amen.
It is a sphere embedded in the completeness, a totality of God having decreed a saying. Physicality and verses of it are reflectors of it, testimonials of that. And when we say reflectors, sometimes can even be refractors. That is, you know, you get the refracted view. And then come through clearly. Paul in another place speaks of it as obscureness.
Amen.
We see a thing and we think that's what it is, and that's not what it is. That's what it appears to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And to get to what it is, we must look to the Word of God, so that as we look at it, we're actually able to look through it. And so now, instead of just receiving the communication of the process, there's the deeper probe into the reason, which is the purpose. And actually, the purpose is really what defines what a thing really is. And so we're always saying, not what is this, but what is this for? What's the purpose of it? Something happens, that's the first thing we must go to, is God's purpose for it. And sometimes that's kind of rough, you know, because things, you say, there's no way, this doesn't make sense. I don't see how God could have a purpose for this and so forth. Because this is nonsensical. This is, of course, you know, just because it doesn't make sense to me, doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. It simply means it doesn't make sense to me.
That's it. Amen.
Doesn't make sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
God is a purpose God.
That's it. Amen.
Everything that comes up, he has design and definite plan in relationship to why it's there. And you must understand this, because some things in life throw us for a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Some things in life can really challenge us to the point, amen, and really cause us to live in doubt and fear and uncertainty. It's almost like God is not on the scene and something is happening. And this is why we have songs that we sing like, come by here, Lord, come by here. Amen. He's ubiquitous, that is, he's everywhere in the sense that all things are where? In him. Colossians 1:16, it does, in the King James said, amen, by him, but all things were created were in him. And then it goes to say, it gives us, amen, an outlay of us knowing all things as it is expressed there in the Greek, ta panda, which means all that exists, whether it's visible, invisible, whether they are thorns and principalities and powers, and I mean, you can just go down the whole list, authorities, everything that's happening around us in the world, it says it is in him. And not only in him, it is what? Through him. And for him. Let's go with this again. They say in him, through him, for him. For him means it's there because it is there for God's purpose. So we think of things, you know, as purposed around within themselves, around us. The purpose dwells in our lives. And even though Romans 14 and 7 tells us that we don't have a purpose, a reason within ourselves for existence. Our lives are not about us. Our lives are about what God has for us. And sometimes, of course, even this fellow doesn't really like the way things are going. Wish they could go another way. Amen. But I'm not the creator of the universe. Amen. And so, amen, it would behoove us to be in alignment with God's program. Mm-hmm. You know, when we pray sometimes, we want God to be on our side. Which, if God is going to be on my side, who's the permanent one? I am. But God's the permanent one. It's a matter of us being on God's side, or being on God's team, or being in the essence of aligning with the program and plan and will and purpose of God. So, in relativism, amen, everything points to God. Yes. It's about Him. It's all about Him. Amen. Amen. This is what the scriptures basically, that's what they teach us. Even as testimonially give revelation of eternality, their God accomplished everything according to His good pleasure. He didn't even save us to please us. I'm pleased that He saved me, but He didn't save me to please me. Who did He save me to please?
Himself.
Himself. You look in Ephesians chapter 1 and a couple other places, it speaks of the pleasure of His goodwill. What pleased Him. And so our lives are about what pleases God. And as we move through the terrain of time, and we encounter things in our lives, and some of them can be pretty disrupted, a bit seemingly, as we are challenged with different confrontations and different things that seem to go against us. Amen. We must always be aware that God is not only on the scene, amen, He created the scene.
Amen.
But for purpose. For purpose. As well, I don't know what it is and so forth and so on. This is why scripture teaches us that we walk by what?
Not by what?
Not by sight. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 again. We're going to go through a little exercise here this morning. So I want to pull out a few nuggets there. Relationship. And yes, we're going to take our time because it's so important for us to understand what life is. What we construe as life, amen, we can see the total parameters of existence, amen, as that which God has created, ordered, or designed, amen, according to the pleasure of the great designer, the great architect of existence, who is God. All right? In this 11th chapter, of Hebrews, in verse 1, it speaks about substance, speaks about evidence, and here I want you to understand that none of this is focused in physicality. None of it's in the scene. When he speaks of substance, he's talking about substance according to the same. Not to the scene. Now we view substance as something we can observe, look at, scrutinize in the physical sense of taste, touch, handling. So in court, when they talk about physical evidence, they're talking about something concrete.
Right.
Something you can put your hand on. Something that in the human vernacular of comprehension, you are able to resonate with. As it's outlaid here, he starts off with the word faith, which means it is not speaking about the seen, the visible. Another place Paul said, we walk by what?
Faith.
Not by what?
Faith.
Not by appearances. Not by the seen. As soon as you said faith, you are not talking about the medium of visuals, of virtues. You're talking about the medium of the unseen. Another place Paul writes, he said, we're not looking at the seen. We're looking at the unseen. Because the unseen will be around. You can depend upon it. That which you see is transitional. It's moving. It's changing. And it's temporary. Everything touching your life, even every challenge that you have, every confrontation that you have, all interfacing is moving and changing, amen, and from one period to the other, it may be something entirely different from what you first, amen, construed it to be. Many of us have going through experiences where we thought something was one way and it was another.
Yeah.
We thought it was one thing and it was something else. Amen. And so this is why here, as he speaks in that first verse, that faith is substance. Faith is substance. Mm-hmm. Of that which has hope. And what is that? It is evidence in the unseen. Look at that closely. It is the exact opposite of what is visual, because what is visual is only virtual, because the unseen is the actual. And here we get into two terms, process and purpose. Process is what is viewed as it transpires in physicality. Purpose is the actual essence of existence, purely in spirituality. Now, in that verse 2, it reads in the King James. In fact, just read that, because we're going to go through this little exercise this morning, and that verse is going to be very important for us to understand. Read.
Hebrews chapter 11, the second verse.
Mm-hmm.
For by it the elders obtain a good report.
And see, that looks like that. They did something. In fact, in this chapter here, many theologians have referred to this as the heroes of faith. I don't buy that, because scripturally here, some of these same fellows that in one occasion they did one thing, and another they did something else. In fact, all of them. And so, as they were moved and caused by the Spirit, they performed. Sometimes the Spirit caused them, amen, to perform just like we do. You know, as human, frail, of the depraved creatures. In other instances, it was the antigen, opposite, a converse of what the situation imposed. You know, downcast but not destroyed, as Paul said another place. Not afraid. Not feeling abandoned, even though the situation before us, as we observe it, leaves us under an impression of abandonment. You know, here's something that happened, and God has got his hands either tied or folded. And saying, hey, you handle this. And so we get to thinking that, hey, we got to handle it. But the only problem with that is we can't. Can the creature function independently of the creator? Can we do anything except God enables us? Can we solve any problem of ourselves? No. Can we determine anything? No. And so as we go through this morning, we'll see that each one of these situations basically is what they encountered, but what God did, amen, in causing them to operate differently from the human normal response of what the situation would cause them to do. All right, read verse 2 from the Greek.
Hebrews 11:2 from interlinear Greek text. By this, for obtain witness.
That's in the passive voice. That Greek word is in the passive voice. Anything that's in the passive voice is something that is done to you. You didn't get it by doing something. They receive witness. They receive a good witness. The elders. What is he talking about? In verse 3, which we've gone through, it basically says by faith, it is through the medium of faith that we understand that the ages were created according to a saying of God.
Yes.
Amen. Let's go through this again. The ages
were created
according to a saying of God. And when you have that internalized within your spirits, you will understand that the thing that appears does not come out of the scene. The actual revelation of what it is not from the scene of what is seen, of what is visualized, of what is observed. If the ages were created according to a saying of God, that must be the source of what appears. That which shows up is according to a saying of God, which goes to purpose, overruling processes.
That's it.
Everybody say purpose.
Overrules
processes. Processes are the things that we observe, the things that we encounter each day, the different events and occasions in our lives. Things that jump off, things each day that we are involved in are always traced back to the fact that the ages, and that would include everything that's in the ages, were what? Created according to a saying of God. One saying, one decree. Everything, our life, the whole spectrum of our life, your entire gamut of your existence is according to a saying of God. Yeah, no matter what age you're in. And in each age, you have different things happen, but each one of them is according to a saying of God.
Yes.
Now let's go through our little exercise here. It's going to be a little bit of reading. Amen. Get your Bibles. And I think I can even do this in the King James this morning. In most instances, anyway. Let's start with verse 4.
Hebrews.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hebrews 11, beginning with the fourth verse.
All right, follow this now. We are dealing with processes and purpose. Read.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
That's the process. Read.
By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh.
Now, purpose. Testimony. Why was it necessary for this conflict to arise between these two brothers? The conflicts of our life. Why did this come up? He had two brothers, and this conflict arose. Why was it necessary? God's purpose. And he gives in a lot of part of that. What that basically entailed. Now, let's go to verse 5.
Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death.
Now, moving through the process here, and this is what defies the evolutionists and scientism, and the things that, quote, they can't explain. Because if processes were so instilled as actuality, then processes would work the same way every time, wouldn't it? But they don't. You would be able to forecast them, as scientism tries many times the weather, but sometimes they hit it and sometimes what? They miss it. In fact, the governor of Georgia, some of the other politicians tried to bring the meteorologists for a couple of weeks ago for the fiasco in Atlanta. You know, here you plan a picnic and the meteorologist says it's going to be sunshine. Then a cloud comes up and it just wipes out. Now you're angry at the meteorologist. As though he had control. Well, he should have known better. He was going by a process. So here Enoch did what now?
By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
That was okay. That's
oh, verse 8, 5. Okay.
Verse 5.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him.
No body, no residue. Because what? Purpose. God's word. What is it that has placed you in the body of Christ? Well, one day I got up and I decided I was tired of sin and I came down and I gave my heart to the Lord. No, you didn't. This was all done, going back to verse 3, in the same. Why did this happen? Now, here, King James said, he pleased God. No. Now, of course, that would be contradictory back in chapter 3 of Romans, where it says there's none that pleases him. And, of course, there's none that can please him. Let's read. I think I'm compelled to read that from the Greek. Read verse 5 from the Greek.
Hebrews 11, begin with the 5th verse in the interlinear Greek text. By faith, Enoch was removed.
He was removed from physicality.
Not to see death.
And not through that process that we call death a separation.
Amen.
There was no residue left.
Right.
There was nobody. He said, well, we need our bodies. God doesn't need the body. You don't exist because of your body. You were placed in your body as a vessel for community purpose for other creatures. To God, you are not a body. You're spirit. You're spirit. You're a spirit. You're not a body. You're a spirit.
That's it.
You are a spirit. You are not a body. Again, what are you? Your spirit.
Amen.
The true essence of actuality is spiritual. Body has to do with physicality. Body has to do with physicality. Now, he was removed. For testimony's sake. And the testimony basically the pleasing or supposedly pleasing, which is down in verse 6 in the interlinear, I see, to have been well pleasing. Look down in verse 6. To God. Which basically speaks of that which was prearranged. The same way we are pleasing to God. How are we pleasing to God? Through Christ Jesus. So, Enoch within the saying was pleasing to God through the decree of God, having sanctified him and purified him through what? The blood of Jesus. But how could that be? That was only 2,000 years ago. No, this is why we get the difference, why we're going through this. The difference between manifestation and actualization. Actualization goes to what desires through God's saying in eternity.
Amen.
Manifestation are the physical representations in the matrix. A field of measurements that says this is the way it is, and that's the way it flows, and that's the way it so forth and so on. And it's sequenced. Everything concerning life, it's complete in him. This is why in Colossians it says you are what? You're complete where? In him. In him. In him. Many things, they move around and change around in translation because we like to couch things in physicality instead of Spirituality. Everything concerning God is spiritual. God is a spirit. God is spirit. Not a spirit. God is spirit. In other words, the sphere wherein everything is according to Him saying it.
Yes, amen.
And it exists not in sequences. All right. Let's go. Let's jump to verse 7. Back to the King James.
Hebrews 11, beginning with the 7th verse, King James translation. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet.
That's something. But how did God know? I mean, it hadn't showed up. Right? Read.
Not seeing as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark.
Yes. Now, for what purpose?
To the saving of his house. By the which he condemned the world.
God condemned the world.
And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
So Noah became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. Now, remember now, this is revelation here. This is revelation according to the mystery.
Amen.
This is revelation accordingly of that which is revealed subsequent to that which one will basically see in reading in the readings in Genesis. But then how did Noah see it? But God spoke to him. How did Noah really, really respond? God caused him to. And what was the purpose? Testimony. What's the bottom line? Righteousness. How can you call Noah righteous? You remember what he did after the flood? What's the first thing he did? He got drunk. How can he be righteous? How can someone be righteous and be drunk and get drunk? The same way we're righteous. We're righteous through Christ. According to a saying.
Yes.
So when did he become righteous through Christ? In the saying. When is the saying? In eternity. You got to separate manifestation in time from actualization in eternity. That comes through focusing or relating to God through the scriptures. Now you get a clear picture of what existence really is. What is existence? It's the essence of what God said.
Amen.
That's what existence is. All right. Oh, look at that clock. It's beating me up.
Yes.
Let's go to verse 8. Read.
Hebrews 11, 8th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went.
Verse 9.
By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
That explains a lot of things as it flows through history. How processes through time all flow and redound to the purpose and will of God. A lot of things happened then. A lot of things happen. And some of them, it just looks like what we call bad luck, bad timing, bad situation. Bad. And there is God working his will to the end that what you see is not what you get. And in the case of Abraham, it all redounded to the glory of God. God is getting glory out of it. Many things that happened in our life, God is getting the glory.
Amen.
You know the problem is? Follow me. We look at this life as events within themselves. The end is in themselves. The combination is in itself. The bottom line of what's happening is within the occurrence of the event. Know the problem with that? Life is passing. Life is moving.
Amen.
Life is changing.
Yes.
And eventually, as time comes to its conclusion, every event in time also cease in the conclusion of time. Mm-hmm. Jesus said on one occasion in the Kingdom Gospel, it would be better for one to go through life maimed.
That's it. Amen.
And enter into the kingdom then, I'm just paraphrasing it, being the picture of the board of health and rejected from the kingdom.
Yes.
He's saying, basically, what's in this life is not the bottom line. Everything that happens here stays here. Hello? That's good or bad? Men go out and they spend their lives trying to get riches and they get it and they die. What happens to their fortune? Can they take it with them? No, it stays here. And then eventually, with the cessation of time, the fortune is gone. When time is gone. So I left it to my children. Well, they're going to leave it here. My grandchildren, they're going to leave it. This is what happened, basically, with Abraham. And so it goes on down in there, listing my time. See, that clock is really beating me up. As we see these things, you know, we see Abraham, then we see Sarah, and it goes on down, and then talks about some of the others done. And then let's go to the bottom line of this. Let's go to verse 40. Because it's time.
Hebrews 11, verse 40?
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 11, verse 40. God having provided some better things for us.
Now, when he speaks of them and us, he's basically speaking about the essence of knowledge that it is revealed as this is writing, as these writings convey, versus those that went through things as we have previously read, that that didn't have a clue as to what was going on. No, that's the difference. Knowledge is a difference maker.
Amen.
That's the difference. Paul writes in one place, and we have this treasure, what? In earthen vessels. Talking about this revealed knowledge. That what? That the power will be of God and what? Not of us. That the focus, the glory, the praise is to God and not of us. Finish that verse up.
Verse 40. God having provided some better things for us, mm-hmm. that they without us should not be made perfect.
Mature. Read that from the Greek.
Hebrews 11:40 from the interlinear Greek text. God concerning us better something having foreseen.
Having stop. It's like the advantage that we have that Adam didn't have, that Noah didn't have, that Enoch didn't have. That Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't have. Joseph didn't have. Moses didn't have. And you can go on down through the line of God's servants, his prophets, even though they prophesied certain things. They never saw any revelations of the mystery.
That's it. Amen.
We have an advantage over them. This is what Paul is conveying. Because of the knowledge that's in the mystery, the essence of what God has now revealed, we're able to see life as it is rather than as it is physically construed to be. And without it, they would not mature.
Patient.
They couldn't be because they didn't have the knowledge. Knowledge matures. We're going to come back to this next week. Let's go to the bottom of page 10. Oh my God! Are you with me? The last paragraph at the bottom, page 10. Everybody got it? The relativisms in philosophies of humanisms hardly fail in respect of unreliability for referencing its relevancy pole. Everybody say relevancy pole.
Relevancy pole.
What is actually attributed to what? What is relevant? You can't, and a process is not a reliable relevancy pole. You can't look at that and say, this is what this is. This is what this is relevant to. This is what this relates to. I lost my job. That's the only thing I focus on. And you can't see any further than that. Why? I don't care why. I just lost my job. All I know is I lost my job. I'm sick. Why? I don't care why. All I know is I'm sick. And I want to get well. Well, what is God's purpose in it? I don't care. I just want to get well. What is God's reason for this? I don't care. I just want to be delivered. The strongest logical response asserts that nothing could logically refer to itself. That's termed the theory of logical types. Don't you ever reference anything to itself. Nothing is of itself and in itself, not about itself. We're always looking through it. We're wondering what we're going to do with it instead of focusing on what God has already done with it. We were just reading, having foreordained. God having foreordained. What is it God having foreordained? Whatever God's purpose is in it. I don't know what it is. By faith we understand everything in the universe, everything in ages to have been created according to a saying of God. And God, with everything in him, it is in him, through him, and what? For him. God helped me and caused me to trust in your will and purpose for my life. That's what this comes down to. That the relevancy pole is Christ, is God. When did Paul say, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is what? Gain. My life is about Christ. So no longer do I live, but what? Christ lives where? In me. Now, if that's not true, let's just take all the book and just pitch it. No, going out there and get with the struggle as long as you can, while you can. That's not going to be long. Either this is true, a life is one big joke. If in this life only we have hope, we'll all mean to be pitied.
Yes.
We're a pitiful bunch. If life is only about what you're doing now, we are a pitiful crew.
Yes.
Oh, we're wasting time coming here each week, getting into the book, said this is what it is, and that's not what it is. It's what you see. No. Follow this now. I guess I just get to one paragraph today. Such abides in defeat itself since its presentations. Are you following me? One can hardly avoid referencing something in the act of stating what can't be done or what doesn't make any sense in consistency. This necessitates merely considering the word relativism as to whether such refers to relevancy itself. In acknowledging that it does, this is more than a word that modern relativists in philosophy endeavor to pursue. The grace covenant. This is where we end today. Everybody say the grace covenant. Say it again, the grace covenant. It's the grace covenant. That's our contract. These are our directives and instructions us to get to the bottom of what's around us. It's recorded in his word. The grace covenant declarations are consistently better rather than merely true. What God has for us is true, but it's also better. Everybody said better. When Paul speaks of better things as he writes to the Hebrew believers, saying, really, in another place, he said, there is no comparison. The thing that you're going through now, which is a light momentary affliction. What is it doing? It's working for us. What? Better weight. A more weightier. A greater amount of glory in God. In other words, however bleak that thing looks, is working for you eternally rather than against you. So I lost everything I had. Well, you really didn't really have anything. Not in this life. Anything that you stand to lose, you never possessed. If you got it, you got it. It's yours. And anything touching this life, what's the exception to that? Your salvation. What is your salvation? Your eternal relation in God, in Christ. You got that. That's you. The real you, the essence of you, is in Christ. Who you are in Christ defines you more than you in the flesh. Who you are in the flesh? Temporary. Who you are in Christ? Forever. Which one are you? Forever. In Christ. So it's not only true, but it's better.
Amen.
What we come to know through comprehension and understanding, each one of those that went through whatever, as we read some of the litany, we didn't get through all of it. Not only was it true, but it was better. Did they come out better? Or did they come out on the short end? Better. So whatever's happened to you in life this morning, whatever your situation is, you in Christ, the bottom line is progress, success. Eternal happiness, bliss. And whatever you're going through, for purpose. Everybody say purpose. Last sentence. This exudes authentically spiritual pragmatism. Everybody says spiritual pragmatism.
Spiritual.
What is pragmatic? Spiritual. Spiritual. And that's our problem. We either prioritize physicality over spirituality, or we try to put them on the same plane. Your spiritual life is more important than your physical life. Your physical life has termination to it. Your spiritual life is forever. And this is what Paul says, we're not looking at the seen, the spiritual. We're not prioritizing that. Why are we prioritizing the unseen? Why? Because it is eternal.
Yes.
So this exudes authentically spiritual pragmatism, which is more concerned with what is true. What is true is what is real. What is real is what exists. What exists is what sticks around and stays. As opposed to just what humanism construe that works, what it is, how it seems to be. Because even the most supposedly blissful state of affairs in this life eventually does what? They come to an end. Even the most utopia state eventually what? Comes to an end.
Amen. Yes.
There's no paradise on earth. There's no eternal lodging. In peacefulness on this earth, everything comes to an end. So we need to come to an understanding of what life is. Life is about Christ and what he has. But you don't get that looking around. This is our purpose for coming together each week. To bring you into perspective and understanding of what's around you. So you don't walk around sad when you should be happy.
Amen.
For long. When you should be living in hopeful expectation. Crush when you should be triumphantly praising and magnifying the God of your salvation. But you can't get this in what you see. It's all about the same. And so you're only going to get to the bottom of that. God's word. And this is why song we sing sometimes in Look and Live. What are you talking about? The saints are saying look and live. It means look beyond what's around you.
Yes.
Because when you do, you will look. And as you look, you'll live.
Amen.
Look where? It's recorded.
Yes.
In his word.
Yes.
Repeat after me. It is recorded. In his word.
Word.
It's recorded. In his word. As the song says, if God causes you and you will only look, and you look, now my friends, you're ready to really live. God bless you.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. 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 Come on, you can do better than that.